This week's Sedra, Parshas Emor. We have the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, which we are in the midst of right now. And the Sforno points out, he says, V'haisa Sfira Zichron L'Tfila Yom Yom. There's a concept of tefillah, of davening. During the spheres, we count the meaning of tefillah, and he says v'haya hachag hakatzir hoda al tov hakatzir, and then chag hakatzir, which is another name for shvuas, this is a hoda al tov hakatzir, and all the harvesting that we've been doing since Pesach, and we want to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for it. That's the idea of shvuas. So we have the spheres haomer is the idea of tefillah. And then the actual Chag HaShavuos, which this leads to, is thanking Hashem for the Katsir. I'm going to elaborate a little bit on this point. Some things I heard from Rav Levinstein, Shlita. Once the famous Maisa with the Chafetz Chaim, once somebody met up with the Chafetz Chaim, the Chafetz Chaim asked him, tell me, he says, how are you doing? He says, Rebbe, could be better. What can I tell you? It could be better. So the Chafetz Chaim told him, you're wrong. He says, it couldn't be better. He says, whatever your matzav is, might not look so great, but it's obviously the best. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu, he only does the best for us, what's good for us. So you might think, oh, it could be better. He says, it can't be better. It's the best it could be for your matzav. There's a vort, they say, we davening, say, Avinu Malkeinu. Avinu Malkeinu. And what's the idea? That a father, he wants to give everything for his son. If he could just give the world, he'd give the world to his son. But what? He doesn't have everything. He has a ratzon to give, a desire to give, but he doesn't have necessarily what to give. The king is exactly the opposite. Malkeinu. Right? The king, he has everything, right? He's rich, he owns everything, but he doesn't necessarily have the ratzon to give all these things to everybody. So therefore, we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's Avinu and Malkeinu. He's both. On the one hand, he's Avinu, he was our father, he wants to give us. And not only that, he's also Malkeinu, he has the ability, he owns, he has everything. The whole world is his. So, we might say, yeah, so why didn't he give you the world? So why? He is, whatever, he's giving you exactly everything you need, everything you want, like the Chafetz Chaim pointed out. Interesting, Ben Yoyada and Psachim on the Gemara, we say, Hodul Hashem ki tov, ki lolam chasto. So the Gemara points out, Hodul Hashem, we have to thank Hashem. Why? Shegova chovaso shel adam betovaso. Literally, that Hashem claims the person, collects from a person in his good. What's the idea? So he says that, very much like we've been saying, that when a Kodesh Baruch Hu collects a chov from the person, that since it is a Kodesh Baruch Hu that is doing it, so Mele, it's good, not bad. Right? If it's not just happenstance, something, so to speak, bad it happens, Hashem is collecting the Chol. So since it's Hashem that's doing it, so Mele, it's good. I mean, it says a nice remiss to this, the word Chol, right, this is some obligation, something we did wrong, we have a Chol. So Chol in Gematria is 16. So if you take the Chov and you add a Kodesh Baruch Hu to it, Kodesh Baruch Hu is 1, you take the 16 of Chov and 1 of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, what do you get? 17. What is 17? Tov. So Chov plus 1 is Tov. You have a Chov, but since the Kodesh Baruch Hu is behind the Chov, Memela, the Chov is really Tov. So, similar to a Maisa, the Panovich Rav, once he was in Europe, they wanted to make schools that the Frum children should be together with the Goyim in the same school. Of course, the Panovich Rav was very much against it, and he had a meeting with the Minister of Education there, the Goy. And so the Goy said, what's wrong? Why can't our kids be together? The Maisa said, what, our math is any different than your math? It's the same math. So the Panovich Rav said, very good, very good. You actually hit the nail on the head. And that's the problem. Says, what are you talking about? You have different math than us? So he says, the Panovich Rav says, tell me something. Count for me. He says, count? He says, yeah. He says, okay, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. He says, yeah. He says, that's the difference. He says, you start at zero. By us, all our cheshbonos start with one. Everything is the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Also, the Rav Vosner, once an Avreich came to Rav Vosner, and he said, you know, he had already some children, but he wanted more children. And he says, you know, what can I do? I'd really want more children. So the Rav Vosner told him the following. He says, Mash Hashem notein ze bracha. He says, what Hashem gives, he says, that's a bracha. Umashu lo notein ze gam bracha. And what he doesn't give, that's also a bracha. In other words, we said, everything is for the good. Might not look like it necessarily, but since Hashem is behind it all, it's vadai, chov plus one is tov. It's always for the good. On the other side of the coin, sometimes it's the opposite. What we think is good, and we say, oh, Baruch Hashem, now things are going good. Now it's good. Very often, it's not good. Right? What's good in our eyes isn't, so to speak, pleasant. Put it that way. Everything we said is for the good. But it's not what we might think is good as in pleasant, is not necessarily so pleasant if we knew the reason behind it. The Pasuk says in Koheles, that a Kosh Baruch Hu sometimes is Osher, he says, Shomer, Shamur Labalav Larasso. Sometimes wealth is given to a person, Larato, for his bad. It's not good that he has money. Different reasons. One simple reason is that sometimes the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to cause this guy to fall. And it's a famous expression, right? The bigger they are, the harder they fall. Right? If Hashem wants to cause bankruptcy to a guy that has $100, it's a big deal, right? But a guy that goes bankrupt from $1 million, it's a big, big shock. It's much harder for this person. So here he's, you know, living it up. He has all this money, but it could be just a setup because Baruch wants to bring him down. And it's gonna hurt him all that much more when since he has all this money. There's a mitzvah with Rav Chaim Kreisworth, that's all. He's once collecting money for this poor person. And he's going from, you know, visiting various gvirim, wealthy people. So he goes to this one, you know, mansion, goes to the balabas, and he says, you know, I'm collecting money for somebody, he needs help, this, that. So the person says to him, balabai says, okay, listen, Rabbi, I'm willing to give you now a check for $10,000, only on one condition. He says, what's that? He says, that you tell me who this guy is that you're collecting for. So Chaim says, I apologize, I can't do that. So he says, $20,000. Tell me who it is, I'll give you $20,000. I'd like to tell you, I just can't. He says, $30,000. Give you 30. He says, take out my checkbook. Here we go. $30,000. You just tell me who this person is you're collecting for. Because I can't. He says, okay, Rabbi, that's it. $50,000. $50,000. Here it is. I'm starting to write the check. Tell me who the man is. Rav Chaim says, I don't care what you give me. I cannot tell. I'm not allowed to sworn to secrecy. I can't tell you who this man is. So the Rav Chaim thought, so I wasn't getting anywhere. He got up and he was about to leave. So the Baal Bayis calls him back and he says, listen, Rabbi, I'd like to speak to you private. Pulls him over and takes him to his room. He says, listen, Rabbi, I'll let you know something. He said, you know, this guy that you're collecting for, you told me all about his dad in financial straits. He went bankrupt. He has got no money and this and that. I want to let you know something, Rabbi. He says, my matzav is worse off than he is. He says, what? I don't understand. You know, nice big house. He's going, yeah, nice big house. I've got nothing. I'm a pauper. I just like, you know, this is all a facade. I lost all my money. I just don't want to, you know, let anybody know. So Rav Chaim says, okay, I understand, but what's this? You're going to give me a check, $10,000, $50,000. And he goes, nah. He says, Rabbi, I was just testing you. He says, what do you mean? He says, well, I really wanted to ask you to go collect for me. But I was afraid you'd disclose, you know, and I don't want anybody to know. So if I was testing you and I asked, you know, just let me know this guy saw as much money I offered you, you didn't want to disclose the name of that person. So now I see, I can trust you. So now I ask you, Rabbi, can you please collect for me? That's this idea that, you say, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And sometimes, you know, what might look in our eyes like, hey, this is great, this is pleasant, this is tov, it's not that. Magid once said in the tefillah, we say, Avinu Malkeinu Kra Roeg Zardinenu. Right? We ask Hashem, so literally, it says we ask him to like rip up our bad din. But Magid once gave a mashal, a ma'adavar doma. He says there was once a chayal, a soldier, that he sinned against the king. So the king says, okay, that's it. He deserves, 50 lashes. So, he calls the Chayala, and he sees this little scrawny guy. Skinny, scrawny guy. And so he calls in the doctor, and he says, in your estimation, how many lashes do you think this guy could take? So he looks, checks him out, he goes, maybe 2.5. So he says, oh, no way, I want to give this guy 50 lashes. So he goes, sorry, not at this 50 lashes, 3 lashes will kill the guy. So the king says, okay, calls in the cook in the army, and he says, get over here. He says, you see this guy? You have 2 weeks to put on 20 kilos on this guy. Okay, I don't care what you give him to eat, but you're fattening this guy up because he's deserving of 50 malchus. So he says, yes, sir, yes, king, whatever, your highness. And sure enough, the next day he brings him into breakfast and he gives him, all kinds of fresh bread and hummus and tchina and eggs and hash browns and he piles it on. And then comes lunch and he gives him the beef and the steak and the chips and the this and filling him. Okay, Kyle's having a great time, but this is all so he can, get his malchus. Anyways, this continues for a while, and all of a sudden, there's an announcement in the kingdom. What? The king is having a birthday. So every birthday likes to do something nice, so this birthday he decided to give a grace to anybody that has a penalty, the punishment over his head, it's erased. So to this Chayal. Right, he had a soldier had this, 50 lashes coming to him, so it was a race. He doesn't have it anymore. He's not going to get it. But what happens next day? He comes to breakfast. Okay, where are my waffles and maple syrup? So the cook says, "Sorry, you're not getting waffles today." And he says, "Why not?" He says, "No lashes, no waffles." Right? I was only feeding you up because you're getting lashes. Right? You don't have any of the lashes. I'm not going to get. I'm going to give you the food. So too, we ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu, "Avinu Malkeinu, Kra Ro'a Gzardinenu," mean that sometimes we have gzeiros of good, but it's only good, like we said, because the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Sometimes they're giving us the good, like feeding us to get so we can get the lashes. So which isn't good. So therefore, we ask Hashem, "Kra the Ro'a of Gzardinenu." We want the Gzardinenu. We want that. We want the food. We want the waffle. Right? But just take away, the lashes that come with it. Just give us the good without the, the bad that goes with it. It's an interesting Rashi in the Dvarim, the beginning of the Sefer Dvarim, that brings out the idea that, again, we're speaking about what's good and what looks like good. And sometimes, again, we misjudge. It seems on the surface like something is not good, and really it is for our best. A beautiful view I saw in the Rashi once says that this is by the Meraglim. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu is recalling the history in the Midbar, and it says that he's castigating them, giving them mussar, and said that you complained. And you said, this is at the time of the Meraglim, when the Meraglim came back and they said, "Oh, v'sinaso sanu," right? Because you hated us, you took us out of Mitzrayim to bring us to Eretz Canaan. Because you hated us. That's what the Pasuk says. So in their environment. And Rashi over there says, Mashal, what is it a Mashal to? There was a father. Rashi is the Rashi over there. Rashi says there was a father who had two sons. One son he loved, and the other son he didn't care for so much. The same father had two fields. He says one field was a field that was irrigated. There was always water there. And the other field was didn't have water, relied on rainfall. So to the son that he loved, the father gave the irrigated field. And to the son that he didn't like so much, he gave the field that doesn't have water, that needs rainfall. So too, this is what the people were saying, right? V'sinaso sanu, Hashem, because you hated us, you took us out of Mitzrayim and got us to Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because in Mitzrayim, they had the Nile, right, which flowed over. There was always irrigation. There was always water. Whereas you took it, that's what you give a son that you love. But what did you do? You took us out of there to give us Eretz Canaan, which needs rainfall. Okay? So that's what you do to a son that you don't like. And that's why they said, Vitsinasu Sanu, because you hate us, you brought us to Canaan. That's what Rashi says. The question is obvious. L'chura, they're right. We're saying, Moshe Rabbeinu is castigating them. He said, you told Vitsinasu Sanu, how can you say such a thing? What do you mean, how can you say such a thing? They were right. Who do you give an irrigated field to? The son you love.
Right?
I'm sorry?
Okay,
well, we'll see. But, you know, what their claim was right. I said, son, you love, you can irrigate him. And they took us out of Mitzrayim, was irrigating, you brought us there, it's Canaan, where's the rainfall? So what was Moshe Rabbeinu castigating them for? They say, again, you have to see, what is really good? Right? What does Hashem really want? Hashem wants to have a kesher with us. So sometimes, the only way to have a kesher with us is to make things difficult for us. Because the human nature is that when things are good, then you feel like, hey, I don't need Hashem so much, whether it's conscious or subconscious, like, hey, everything's fine, what do I need Hashem for? It's only when things are tough, then you see Hashem, like the Shlach used to say, that a person sees in his eye from the black of his eye, the pupil, right? Only when things are black, then a person sees. It's a nice taich in the Mizmor LeDavid, Hashem Roi Lo Echsar. Same idea. Why? Because it starts off at the beginning of this capital, and it refers to Hashem in the third person, right? Bino Steshe Yarbitzeni. No, you lie me down in green. He lies me down in green pastures. Yarbitzeni, less third person. Hashem lies me down in green pastures. Almei Menuchos Yinahaleni. Right, he leads me through these still brooks or waters. He, third person. And then later on, it switches in the middle of the capital. It says, Gam ki elech begeit sal mavet, even though I walk in the valley of shadow of death, lo ira ra, why? Ki ata imadi, because you, Hashem, right, I fear. And then the sheaf tacha, your sheva, your rod, umishantacha, your staff, hey me yinachamuni. Right, all of a sudden we're talking to the third and the second person. We're talking to Hashem directly. What happened? As I say, that's the vor. When things are good, be no stesho yarbit seini, so then we don't see Hashem, for he's hidden, he's in the third person. But when things are bad, then, oh, we're begates al mavis, oh, now when things are bad, and all of a sudden we're talking to Hashem in the second person, and now we see him. Always when things are bad, we see Hashem. So too, Akash Baruch Hu knows that things are too good, he loses his connection with us, right? So that's the pshat. Yeah, of course I took you away from Eretz Mitzrayim, you know, where it's always everything's irrigated. Because I know if you'll be in a place where your parnassah is there, you have nothing to worry about, always rain, you're not going to turn to me. You're going to lose your kesher with me. And therefore I brought you to Eretz Canaan so that you need to rely on rainfall. Mainly you have to dove into me. And feel is what creates a connection. So that's the real good. It might not look that way on the surface, but again, it's not always what meets the eye. And therefore, the good is this connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Mela, now we can shed a little bit of light on the Sforno that we started with, and that's the days of Sphira that we're holding in now, which is, as we said, it's the time of the Katsir. And Dafka, as we said, since it's the Zman of Katsir, we're harvesting, we're harvesting, it's in all their Tfua, the produce, so the lens to, hey, you know, you lose sight of Hashem. You say, hey, look at all this good, all my food, all parnasa, you know, and you don't daven so much of Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's why the Sforno pointed out, Dafka these days, Vaitas Sphira Zikaron Letzfila Yom Yom. We have to daven every day. And then why? Because we tend to not daven when things are good, when there's a good seer. And then it comes to its climax by Chag HaShavuot, as he said, Chag HaKatzir, which is Hodal Tov HaKatzir. Again, you know, we have to thank, remember, very nice, all the, but where does it come from? Comes from Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's very easy to lose sight when things are good. Therefore, it's up to us to use these days to awaken us to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, to the realizing, like we said that before, that everything is a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and everything's for the good. Chov plus one is Tov. Since the Kodesh Baruch Hu is behind everything l'maisa is good. And the trick is, to do it when things are good. You know, why do we have to wait? The Chas Hashem and Kodesh Baruch Hu may take things away from us, make things bad, so that we'll see from when things are black, from the black part of our eyes, so we see. Why does it have to be like that? Let us see a Kodesh Baruch Hu when things are good, and then he says, good, you see me now, I don't have to, you know, make things difficult. I see I have the kesher with you without taking things away from me. And that's the trick, as we have to put our minds to. And Yud Hashem, if we do so and recognize the Kodesh Baruch Hu, He will shower us with all His good, as we said, and Yud Hashem bring us the ultimate good of Binyan Beis HaMikdash, B'Karah B'Yameinu. Amen.